Spend my dollar.
It's not about what you want. It's about what you're willing to do to get it. Run it again.
Hello and welcome.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
When you give me a hard time.
For the listeners that didn't get to go.
This is the payback.
Alabama wins!
What you did last year really doesn't matter.
Our goal is to have the kind of team that nobody wants to play.
Hi.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast, Show 3, as part of a pre-camp roundup. Alabama football fall camp starts August the 5th, and we're trying to step through the new coaches, the offenses, the defenses, the special teams, really as a pre-camp primer, sort of get our heads back, dusted off. It's been a long off season, and so as we get back into fall camp and all the headlines and news stories and prepping for the season, we just thought, hey, let's just run through all the positions, all the new coaches, and sort of level set amongst ourselves what's happening with the team, what we expect to happen, and just remember some of those roster players, some of those names that maybe had slipped our mind in the, like I said, the long offseason. So this is Show 3. There are, call it companion articles, on the website, alabamafootballpodcast.com. And what's interesting is we've written four articles, so coaches, offense, defense, and then the separate one for special teams. And there's some of the content that we've written that didn't make the audio, and there's some of the just the stuff we're riffing on the audio that we didn't write out in the articles. And so they're really good companion pieces. The articles can stand alone, the podcast can stand alone, or they can be really good companion pieces. So we'd encourage you to check those out. And that gives us more traffic on the site. And you see some of the, maybe if you haven't been there in a while, some of the, maybe the changes that that we've made there. Also gives you an opportunity to check out the member program for, and it's not for 2021. We just said, look, we're going to define a member program, not redefine it every year, put it out there. That's what it is. And we'll sort of evolve it as we need to, but let's just make it silly simple. And so we've got, you can join monthly for $2 and you can join annually for $18. And so you save a couple dollars if you go annually. We've got about 70 bonus shows that we've accrued over the last couple of years. So if you go and join up for a couple of months and download all those and you realize this, I don't want to do this, then that's great. You know, for $2 or $4 or $6, you've gotten an incredible amount of free content. If you stick around, you have the opportunity to participate in all of our Zoom calls, which were a heck of a lot of fun last year. I have a whole new collection of best friends, and I've kidded, but I'm not kidding. If I stop doing the podcast, I'll probably still continue to do the Zoom calls. And so get in on that, because I don't think that goes away, because it was just so much fun. And then we release those shows. Not only you get to be on the show, but if you can't attend, it's not really a show. I guess it kind of is now. But it's a call, and then we record them, and then we release it as a show. And so if you can't make a call, then it's like you were there, because you get to listen to it. And I know it's a healthy group, a really great group of guys that participated with us last year doing that. And so, you know, if you couldn't come one week, they listen to it and feel like, you know, they hadn't missed it. And so that was a lot of fun. And so hopefully, you know, you get access to that. You do get access to that if you join the member program. We're still doing the raffle, and so you have an opportunity to do that as well. Probably still be some bonus shows that additionally that we'll post over there. Again, it's really just supporting the show. Help us keep the lights on. We got to host a lot of this sort of websites and audio locations and all that jazz. And so that's part of the reason we went to networking on a network. And so we get maybe get some ads that help offset that. We've got a producer that we love that does phenomenal work for us getting our shows posted. But, you know, we've got to offset that cost a little bit too. And we're glad to pay him for his hard work and contributions. But if we can have some ad revenue or member support revenue that helps us do that, then that's phenomenal as well. So it's a longer hard sell than I wanted to do. Hopefully not a hard sell, but just sort of sharing some stuff there. Why don't we jump in? This is, like I said, this is our third in the series. This is defense, pre-camp. Camp starts August 5th. And then we'll talk a little bit of special teams as well. And so when we think about 2021, this is the year of Alabama defense. It truly is. And I'm going to give credit where it's due. Shout out to Swedish correspondent Doug. A year ago, Doug said, hey, I'm excited about the 2020 season, but dude, the 2021 season, the defense is going to be on fire. That team is going to be phenomenal, and the defense is going to be amazing. And so a year ago, like I swear it was a year ago, he was saying this, and I was so focused, my headspace was so focused on the 2020 season. Is it going to happen? And if it doesn't happen, would that all these players will never get to see again, play for Alabama. And if they do come back, this team could be legendary. And so my head was there, and he was sort of looking at the defense a year away. And it turns out we both have the opportunity to be right, because last year was what it was. In this defense, holy moly. And so I am 100% on board, with Doug's sort of forecast. I just have the added benefit of additional evidence. And so I'm fully on board, but I have a lot more evidence than even Doug had last year. And so consider this just for the evidence that we have today that we didn't have a year ago. We didn't know Malachi Moore was going to be Malachi Moore. We didn't know Brian Branch was going to be Brian Branch. We didn't know Tim Smith was going to be Tim Smith. We didn't know Henry Tuatua was going to come to Alabama. We had two interview shows. They were released privately last year. You can go back and listen to them if you join. We're going to do interview shows publicly this year. But we had two interview shows with Tennessee podcast last year, and we and they railed about Tuatua being the best player on the roster, that he was phenomenal. Well, he's on our team now. That's amazing. He plays for Alabama. We've seen the development of Christian Harris and Josh Job, probably both just so far beyond what we thought they could be. And then certainly, back under the freshman category, Will Anderson, holy moly. And so we have all of this additional evidence this year that we didn't have last year, that this year, 2021 defense is poised to be outstanding. And I really do believe that. I do believe that this is the year of Alabama defense, sort of swinging sort of the momentum back. If last year was the year of Alabama offense, then like I said, this is the year of Alabama defense. I think this is the defense that Saban envisioned when he set out to remake the defense, when he realized, I need to evolve my defense. I need more versatility. I need more speed on the field. I think this is what he envisioned. And certainly depth. Holy cow. The depth across not just the team, not just the roster, not just the position, but the depth even across like the individual classes, the way it's layered just so perfectly. This defense is set to be good for multiple seasons. And not just like good, but like really good. This defense is set to be outstanding in 2021. And I think that will carry over into 22 and 23 for some of these guys. All right, so we're going to jump in. We're going to talk about defensive line, linebacker, secondary, and we're going to spend a minute on special teams. So let's do it. For me, defensive line, 2015 is the high water mark for defensive lines at Alabama, especially call it in the modern era or more recent era, or even just the Saban time frame, if you want to look at it that way, however you want to redefine it. 2015 was certainly a high water mark. When we think about the Alabama defensive line, we play three positions, the nose and two tackles. In 2015, we had eight players in active rotation at those three positions. Many of those players are still playing in the NFL. And so when you think about depth, that's incredible. That's almost three deep in rotation at those three positions. That's unheard of. And what really resonated, and you've heard me say this a couple of times, even dating back to that season, where the depth along the defensive front became a weapon. Not just that the guys are really good and can get after it. That's true. That's why there were so many of them. But you can have guys that can go after it, that can get after it, and they don't have to hold themselves back knowing that they've got to play, 80 snaps. I can go get it because I know I'm going to get a breather. And so the depth itself becomes a weapon because the rotation is viable. And the step down between, the first and the second, and even getting into the third at some, the drop-off of talent, I mean, there is a drop-off of talent, but it's not such that you're rolling, refrigerator boxes out there, trying to make plays, that you can afford to do the rotation because the talent just runs so deep. 2021, as we sit here late July, it's too early to suggest that we're going to hit that high water mark again, that we're going to have eight players, you know, rotating for three positions. But you know what I'll tell you is when I look at the roster, I count six with almost no hesitation. And so I think that is a tremendous start. When we think about camp and we think about the players on the defensive front, the key for the defensive front is injury. We've got to get guys back healthy and we've got to keep them healthy. And if we think about LeBrian Ray, Justin Aboibi, and DJ Dale, who, by the way, those are the guys that I would consider the starters up front today. That's three of the six that I'll list as, you know, six before I even start to hesitate about players in the rotation. And so these guys need to be healthy and they need to stay healthy. And they all have had some history of injury. Poor LeBrian Ray has missed so much time and has been just so limited and so hampered. Aboibi, not quite as much, but he's missed some key time with injury too. And I don't know that he's had a healthy season, so to speak. And then DJ Dale, at parts of fall camp last year, you know, reports are that he was unblockable. And at some point along the way, I think he dinged a knee, which really impacted his ability, his versatility last season. And so if they all come back 100% healthy, and that becomes the sort of the starting core across the defensive front, and then you start layering, you know, two and three and four guys depth-wise behind them, then I think you really have the makings of a really stout defense. It's a true freshman, but I'll put him in the injury bucket as well. Tim Keenan, highly recruited defensive lineman. He had a knee injury in high school. I have not specifically heard or read or seen anything about how he's progressing, if he's subject to play this season. So I'll put a sort of a big question mark next to him, not as a negative, but truly, I just don't know. Does he necessarily need to skip a season, to sit out a season because of that historical injury? I don't know, but he's a guy that 100% healthy could potentially be in the rotation as well. And so that's why I sort of categorize him in that way. If we think about the rest of the roster, if we think about the rest of the names that could potentially start to fill in and rotate, let's talk about the second three in my six, if you will. So LeBrian Ray, Aboibi, and Dale are my top three. Who's the next three that I'm thinking about? I think about Phil Mathis. I think he has the opportunity. What's interesting is I don't know that he's a starter if the other guys are healthy, but he is starter quality. He's a fourth starter where we start three. I think he's that good. I think he rotates in. I think he has the opportunity to be sort of the next big guy, internal pass rusher. And so we think about Q, and then we think about Barmore. I think Phil Mathis has the opportunity to sort of be that type of player. And he has been very active, very productive during his career, sort of limited snaps. If you ran some analytics, his production relative to snaps, I think you grade out really well. And this year, I think he gets a significant more snaps and opportunities. And so that'll be fun to watch. Tim Smith, just a freshman last year, but he looked really good in somewhat limited duty and really started to come on the second half of the season, getting more opportunity at the nose, rotating in some for DJ Dale. I think Tim Smith has an opportunity to really develop. This could be a season for him. And then not as many reps, but Jamil, freshman last year, Jamil Burrows, is another guy that later in the season started to get more and more reps. And I thought he acquitted himself very well. And so he is, he's a player that I would consider. I don't think I would have much hesitation in saying he's in the top six rotation. I really don't. And then from there, I've got sort of two buckets of guys from which we could pull in additional rotational guys. Braylon Ingraham is a fellow that has gotten some reps, gotten some opportunity, never sort of flashed for my money, but is a highly regarded recruit. I think he has a lot of potential. I think he could burst out. Byron Young is a guy, and I probably should have ranked him, you know, a little bit higher. I probably put him, you know, maybe even, well, somewhere below Phil, but you know, maybe had a, you know, maybe he's in that, maybe he should be in a higher group. I'm sort of fumbling here, but Byron Young is a player that I think he has the opportunity to really burst out and have a big, big season. I've got him in a question bucket. And I what I'm really saying is I think he's better than that and probably has already demonstrated some of that. I just put his name in the wrong category here. Stephen Wynn is a guy that, again, he has seen some reps. I think he and Braylon are more like one another than Byron Young. I'd like to see him really pop this season. And that gives us an additional – every one of these guys that gives us some productive reps is really deepening the bench across the defensive line. And there's an order of magnitude at how the defensive front can perform. Ja'Marron Lathan, he's a guy that one of our listeners, Clint, was super impressed with during A-Day. And he's a guy that I think, again, a freshman last year, he's a guy that I think that could really pop. I don't know that I would put him in my top six, top seven yet, but he has every opportunity to be in an active rotation. And it's these guys, these questions, this Byron Young, Moran Lathan, you know, they start to be that seven, that six, that seven, that eight guy in an active rotation. And so I think there's a lot of opportunity there. And then even with some of the freshmen coming in, Monkel Goodwine, Damon Payne is a guy that I feel like that maybe I'm just thinking about Deron Payne, but Damon Payne, who I know is a different guy, but I just get the feels. And so I think he can be, and I'm projecting maybe a little, but a highly recruited guy that I think could be a force on the interior. And then Anquan Barnes, I think, is another opportunity. So if we start, you know, if we've got healthy for the front guys, we've got the guys that we think are ready to take the next step. If they take the next step, we get one or two of these guys that we're just not sure about. If they pop, and then we get one or two of the freshmen that pop, then all of a sudden, and I don't know, that's a lot of ifs, but all of a sudden we've got eight or nine guys deep across the defensive front. That's exciting. That is super exciting. And so that's what I'm watching for. So with a little bit of health, we're going to just get an incredible amount of depth across the defensive front. So I don't think I'm reaching for the stars. I think I'm reaching for what is within reach across the front here. I think this offensive front has the opportunity, again, to be outstanding, not only in 21, but beyond. And we've talked about that as well. Let's talk about linebacker. This is another position where Coach Saban went big game hunting. And so we brought in Henry Tuatua, former linebacker, Tennessee. We talked about the Tennessee shows that we did, interviews that we did last year. They love this guy, and we love him too. And he almost came to Alabama originally, and that's a mistake that he seems to have corrected. Fortunately, because Tuatua, the Tennessee fans didn't even know how to say his name. Fortunately, he goes by Hank. And so we're going to go by Hank. So thank you there. But I think he's a phenomenal player and has the opportunity to really stand out for Alabama. I think the linebackers, and let's forget, you know, we play there's four starter linebacker positions, although we play sort of a base nickel. And so sometimes we'll only play three linebackers. So but if you look across our starting four, it's an all-star cast. It truly is. Christopher Allen and Will Anderson are the bookends. I mean, we all know Will Anderson, but Christopher Allen had a stretch last season. I think he was one of the team leader in sacks, and he had a three or four game stretch where he was recording sacks every week, sort of down the stretch last season. He definitely is a phenomenal player and seems to really have been kicking off the rust from his own knee injury. We talked about Hank or Henry. Just a phenomenal player. He was the best player on the Tennessee roster last year. And you can say, well, Tennessee, they weren't that good. And you know what? That's fair. But there's still, when you take a name program in the SEC, even if they're down on the luck, they're going to recruit well. If you could take the best player off of every team in the SEC, you'd have a pretty good collection of players. And so you take the best defensive player, the best player probably on the Tennessee roster, you've got something there. And so there's an additional sort of bit of magic with him because he played at Tennessee under Jeremy Pruitt, And we all know Jeremy Pruitt. And so he comes in knowing the playbook. Now, we may, you know, tomato, tomato in terms of terminology, but the concepts he gets. And so maybe we're renaming concepts in his head, but I think he gets the majority of the concepts. Or maybe we've got a twist on it, and that's okay too. But, you know, he comes in 80% ready to go. And so it's not like we're going to get someone that has to learn all of this from scratch. He understands it. And then Christian Harris, man, he really blew up in the good way last season. And so when we think about those guys, that really, really is an all-star team. And sort of the riddle that I don't know the answer for is who comes off in a nickel. So when we go to nickel situations, knowing that we play a lot of nickel, who comes off the field? This is you know, way back machine. But remember linebacker Nico Johnson. And we like Nico Johnson, but Nico Johnson struggled in coverage. And he was a starter at middle linebacker. But he came off the field when we played nickel. And what's interesting is, you know, back then we probably didn't play quite as much nickel as we do now, but we played a lot of nickel. And so you didn't see a lot of Nico Johnson, but he was a starter. And so if we think about that in the context of these guys, who comes off the field in a nickel situation? And especially considering we play so much nickel, I don't know the answer to that question, but so we'll watch that unfold as well. And maybe we'll learn a little bit in camp, but what's interesting or what's great, whatever the answer is, what's great is, well, that's just automatically more depth. That's a third more depth just automatically by playing nickel, because now we can rotate amongst those linebackers. So that'll be fun to see. If I were to maybe speculate, I might say, and see, you know, Christopher Allen was so productive as a pass rusher, but I wonder if Christian Harris doesn't rotate some snaps out as an outside rush linebacker, maybe in some nickel rabbit type sets. So those will be interesting things to see. We'll just have to watch to see how that plays out. I think we're going to get limited news from the starters during fall camp, and that's good. That's a good thing. If those four guys are sort of locked in, they're an all-star team. I think they are locked in. And so what are reporters going to report about? Not a lot about the linebackers, because, you know, it doesn't mean they don't need to practice. It just means they need to bake. They need to be ready. They need to gel. But we know how that story unfolds. And so it could be that we don't hear a lot of news about the linebackers. And in fact, that's probably a really, really good thing. What we do want to watch for, if there are stories, and maybe from scrimmages and certainly from early games, is what's the rotation look like? Because this really tells the future. Now, there's a few questions here. I don't know that we're going to hear a lot about these types of questions, but how does Chris Braswell look? I think early on, there'll be a rash of these types of stories, and then it'll sort of peter out. And so they'll ask the question and not really answer it because they won't revisit it. They won't all revisit it with the same vigor that they used to ask the question. But Chris Braswell, if we think about Chris Braswell, he was mentioned oftentimes in sort of the same phrasing, the same sentence as Will Anderson. And so what if he comes on this year? He just needed another year of seasoning. What if he's, you know, 80%, 82% of what Will Anderson was last year? You know, how does he fit into the mix? That's going to be compelling. What happens with Drew Sanders? Drew Sanders is an incredible athlete that, and again, some guys, sometimes it just takes a year in the system for them to pop. Drew Sanders is a guy that's going to pop. What's going to happen? Where's he going to play? He's an outside linebacker. There seems to be a lot of guys at outside linebacker. Does he maybe move to the inside where Alabama's going to need help next year? Does he move in on the inside and provide some depth there? Does Drew Sanders move to tight end? That's going to be an interesting one to watch. There was speculation that Oklahoma had recruited him to tight end. He wanted to play linebacker, and so we gave him the opportunity to play linebacker. Well, that doesn't mean a year later he couldn't say, you know what, maybe I'll give tight end a shot. And there's a lot of folks that think that might be his best position. So that'll be interesting to see how that develops. King Makuta put his name in a transfer portal, but he's still listed on the roster. And so there's at the time of recording, I don't know that that's been sort of resolved. And so early in camp, we'll figure that out. And so what's the story there? I think if he sticks around, he has the opportunity to be in the rotation as a rush end or rush linebacker. And so that's going to be interesting to see. And then true freshman Dallas Turner, I can't stop finding praise for him. And so what does he come in and do? Is he another Will Anderson type player? It's hard to say he's going to be a Will Anderson, but those are interesting types of questions. How do these guys, you know, shake out? When we think about it, and those are all more outside linebackers, but when we start thinking about some of the inside linebackers, what is Shane Lee? What's he been up to, right? We haven't seen him in a minute after starting for a season. And so what happens there? Demoy Kennedy is a recruit that came in and was likened to C.J. Mosley in the middle. So what does he look like this year? Jackson Bratton is a guy that was brought in specifically to play in the middle and didn't play a lot last year, if at all. Maybe some special teams, I don't know. I didn't see a lot of him. And then Jalen Moody, he's a guy that, I mean, he's going to be brothers in arms with Hank, but he'd be starting if Hank hadn't come along. And so Jalen's got to be looking for Moody's got to be looking for every opportunity that that he can find to get on the field. So that's going to be interesting. There are so many other names at linebackers. I didn't even write them all down. There's probably six or seven additional names across the linebacker positions, defensive end positions. And so it's going to be interesting really to see how all of that shakes out and how the depth chart really shakes out. And probably we're going to have some updated content in that regard. I want to move away from linebacker, but just one thought when I was looking at my notes from last year, I sort of went out on a limb and I said, you know, there's so much talk. Is Will Anderson the next Derek Thomas? Is he that good? And I said, you know, if he's as good as Derek Thomas, if he ends his career sort of in the same sentence as Derek Thomas, then he's going to win two national titles while he's at Alabama. And calls or not, we've won one. And so that's going to be interesting to see. And I think he's going to be a focal point, an anchor point in this 2021 defense, which I think is going to be outstanding. And so it's going to be quite interesting to see how sort of that unfolds. But that was an interesting sort of, you know, sort of throwaway comment last year. And it's interesting to see, you know, where that could go. And I do think his game is just outstanding and it's only going to get better. We saw it progress last season, and this season it could be a whole nother level. Secondary, let's go to secondary. And look, I'm going to just call this straight up. Secondary is the most frustrating position for me this season. And that's true for all the right reasons. It's frustrating in a good way, certainly not a bad way. So if we consider that Alabama plays a lot of nickel and a lot of dime formations, and so nickels, five defensive backs, dimes, six, you think of your base or your standard being four defensive backs. Now, Alabama bases the nickel a lot, so we call it a base nickel. But anyways, the point is I'm trying to make is numbers of defensive backs that play at any given time. It could be four, five, six, or your traditional sets. Alabama plays a lot of nickel, 70%, if you will, at the nickel. That's why we see a player like Malachi Moore out, because he is the nickelback. We call him, we call him the star, but that's the nickelback. That's the fifth defensive back. Just the scheme is such that we need that personnel on the field. So anyways, five defensive backs out there a lot. So even considering that, this Alabama roster, this collection of secondary players has seven proven starters, plus two potentially day one ready freshmen. So there are nine players in the secondary that legit have an opportunity to step into a starting role. And there's five of them. I mean, six, if you want to count, if you really want to go to the max and count the dime. And that means there might be three starting caliber defensive backs that just see just scant reps or backup reps. And so that's frustrating because we want to see these breakout freshmen. We want to see these players that are so talented and that have grown and evolved over their career. But it's for the right reasons, because we're not putting out there, you know, I'm not going out there to play secondary, right? So the players that aren't playing are so talented that they should play, but they're just not good enough to play with the other guys that are there. It's the right problem to have. It's the right side of the problem to have. But as a fan, that could be frustrating too. That can be a little bit like, ah, damn it, I want to see these guys play. And so here's how I want to break this down. I want to focus on what we know and compare it to what we don't know. And so where we don't know is the question that we want to watch sort of unpack itself during fall camp. So what we know is that one of the cornerback positions will be held down by Josh Joe. Now we know that. Now we're not talking about injury and all that crap because, you know, there's too many wrinkles to, but we know all things being equal, Josh Joe is a starting corner. What we don't know is who starts at the other corner. It likely is Jalen Amore Davis, but it could be Kool-Aid McKinstry, 5-star, incredibly highly touted cornerback, that he could, true freshman corners have started at Alabama somewhat on the regular, that he could potentially beat out Jalen Amore Davis. I'm not yet predicting it, but it's well within feasibility. So we know Job, we don't know the other corner. We know at one of the safety positions, Jordan Battle's playing. We know that. What we don't know is who plays the other safety position. Now, DeMarco Hellams and Daniel Wright sort of platooned at that last season. For the first part of the season, and in fact, well into the season, Daniel Wright would start games at the safety position. And then we'd get into the third quarter, and we would rotate Daniel Wright out and play DeMarco. When we got further into the playoffs, I know we did this against Notre Dame. We may have done it before. We know Notre Dame was going to attack us with their tight ends. And so we started the game with DeMarco, and he pretty much played the whole game because he's a bigger, more physical safety. And they say, you are going to attack us with your big personnel, then we're going to put a safety that's a bigger body, a bigger personnel. So we're going to try to match personnel. And we may still do that. And so it may be that we need the smaller, faster guy versus the bigger guy. And we may be nimble in who starts week to week because that's just a point of versatility that we have, that we're not locked into personnel. But guess what? Guess who's also competing for that safety spot because he's too talented not to have on the field? Brian Branch. So we know Jordan Battle has one of the safety positions. What we don't know is who wins the other side. Is it DeMarco Hellams? Is it Daniel Wright? Is it Brian Branch? We don't know. We know Malachi Moore is the star when he's healthy. And when he's not, last year, Brian Branch played very well at the position. But let's assume, all things being equal, Malachi Moore comes back. He reclaims the star position. What we don't know is who plays the money position, which would be the sixth defensive back. Now, I think the competition's the same. DeMarco Hellams, Daniel Wright, Brian Branch. I think that's the competition profile. But there's you know, when we think about six positions, there's three that we know and three that we don't know. And it's 3, 4, 5 players competing for those three positions. And so that's going to be compelling. But what about Terron Arnold, true freshman? In sort of off-season workouts, he's been working out at corner and safety. What do we do with him? Because he is another 5-star player that's incredibly highly touted. He's one of those guys. And look, it sounds like, oh, do you just think all the true freshmen can play? Well, look at last year's team. Malachi Moore and Will Anderson and Brian Branch. These guys did all play as true freshmen in on the defense. And so I don't think it's outside of the realm of our experience to question, could a Kool-Aid McKinstry step in and play? Could a Terron Arnold step in and play? I think they could. But is there enough of an opportunity given all of the other talent that's there? These are Alabama problems. I'm not complaining, but holy moly, isn't it so interesting to think that we may not be able to fill the defense that has Malachi Moore and Brian Branch on the field at the same time, and they might be two of our better defensive players. That's just incredible to think that situationally that could be true. And it's not a bad problem to have, like we said. But that's going to be interesting. That's why the secondary, I don't know why I focus on the secondary, but it's so fun to watch the rotations. What is the formation, and then what are the rotations at that formation? It's an easier position actually to be able to do than I think even the down lineman or the linebacker. So maybe that's why I gravitate to that. At any rate, that's the defense. I do think this defense has a chance to be outstanding. Super excited about it. Special teams. Let's hit a couple of quick points. Special teams. We're going to focus on, you know, sort of the specialist. We've just talked about in this show and the prior show, the depth of talent at wide receiver, the depth of talent at linebacker, the depth of talent at defensive back. And so when we think about all the coverage teams, shit, we're covered, right? Like, we're in good shape. I wouldn't want to have to try to advance the ball special teams against those guys, because they're going to be – I mean, there'll be some starters baked amongst those, because that's what Saban does. But there's going to be so many guys that are competing to make a name for themselves that they're going to make good big plays. And we see that every year. It's fun to watch. Let's think about the specialist. The kicker is Will Reichert. We need to keep him healthy. I don't think that he goes perfect this season like he did last season. Not because he's not an outstanding kicker. It's just you don't go perfect, and he did. So I'm rooting for it. Just, you know, things happen. But we want him to stay healthy, and he's a phenomenal kicker. We're glad that he's on our team. Kickoffs. Here's an interesting question. Does Reichert handle kickoffs, or does Chase Allen handle kickoffs? And Reichert is as talented, maybe more talented at kickoffs. But think, consider this. We lost him 2 years ago because he stretched or pulled or dinged or his hip flexor. And he did it on a kickoff. And he did it because he the tee that the ball was on, he kicked the tee and not the ball. And so that caused an injury. They have these new tees now that are more pliable. And so if you kick the tee, it doesn't transfer the energy back up into your leg, which causes him to get hurt. It's like a foam. And so it holds the ball. And if you accidentally kick it instead of the ball, then you still kick through it as you would the ball. And so the energy still transfers out the back or through the kick, not back up into the leg. And so the injury potential is, you know, virtually goes away. But, and so with that in mind, you just let him kick them. Or do you say, I don't know, I'm still gun shy because it happened once. I don't know the answer to that question. That may be something that we see during fall camp. So that'll be sort of interesting. Punting. This might be the funnest thing, the most fun thing to watch during fall camp. Sam Johnson and Ty Pirine, I think they've been told that they've been passed over. If not directly told, indirectly told. Which is amazing because Ty Pirine 2 years ago was a phenomenal punter. A little inconsistent, but man, could he boot the ball. And so it seems like that's something that he could work on. And hopefully he has, and he'll have every opportunity to compete for the position. But, you know, Saban basically said, I'm doubling down on finding a punter. So we brought in another transfer, and we see where, you know, the transfers that Saban has brought in, the other transfers Saban has brought in, you know, he's swinging for the fences. And so Jack Martin, a punter from Troy, averaged 46 yards last year. If he walks in and can cash that check week after week, then there's your punter. But there'll be a competition, so it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. And then James Burnup, an Australian kicker. And that just feels like that just feels like Alabama showing off. And what's interesting is I think he was going to gray shirt or walk on at Ole Miss, and Saban said, nope, I'll just give you a scholarship. So Saban, again, just doubling down on finding a punter. And so that's why I say the writing may be on the wall for Sam and Ty, that they've got an uphill battle to compete, because otherwise, why would you go get Jack and James if you've been watching, you know, Sam and Ty, you know, kill it. And so, you know, that's how I see that sort of unfold. I think Jack's probably got to start the season. So that'd be something to watch. Snapping, Thomas Fletcher was actually drafted is a long snapper. It's amazing. Question is Gabe Pugh, is he ready to take over that position? What we want to do, and I say this with all the love for Gabe Pugh, and I think he would sort of grin and agree with me, we don't ever want to hear his name. We want him to be the long snapper, and we never want to hear his name. Until his career is over, and we say, damn, that was another really good long snapper. And I think that's just the life of long snappers there. Kick returns. Man, is Jahlil Billingsley and Brian Robinson, are they going to be the kickoff returners next year? Lovingly, I say I hope not. I hope that somewhere between Jace and Roy Dell and maybe McKinstry, that we can find a younger, I think, more dynamically talented player that can return kicks. I'll say this. If Jace becomes more of the starter at closer to the starter at running back, then he won't return kicks, I don't think. If McKinstry becomes a starter at cornerback, then probably he won't return kicks. We'll have them focus more singularly. And so maybe that means Jahlil and Brian get more of an opportunity. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't want it to be Jahlil, and I'm not mad at Jahlil. It just feels funny that your tight end is your kick returner. And then Brian Robinson is more of a physical, bruising running back. He's got the skills, the talent, and Saban's all about possessing the ball. And hell, if you're just going to catch it and you know, take it to the 25, then maybe it doesn't matter. But I like having someone back there that's a little more dynamic. And then for punt return, I think it's Slade. Although I just get a weird feeling. I've not heard this. This is just all in my head. JoJo Earl is a punt returner. I think there's some raw sort of capability there. If he can consistently catch it, and I don't know that he can or can't, but that's what we would look for there. And I think he has the ability to. I don't think he's a Jalen Waddle. I'm not saying that. People do say that. I don't. But I think he's got a little extra. And that may be an interesting way to get him on the field if he's certainly comfortable with that position. And I say the best to last. You know, Mac Jones left and followed in the footsteps of Tua leaving. And so we need to find a new holder for kicks. I don't want it to be Bryce. I know I don't like it being the starting quarterback. I'm sorry. And so I think Paul Tyson has an opportunity to win that job. So interesting to see there. So here we go. That has been this edition. It's a camp primer. This is all this is. And so we'll refresh a lot of this content. We want to say the names out loud, getting to think about them, think about the positions. And now we've got this information fresh in our brain, sort of marinating around as we drum up, build up our excitement leading up to the season. And so there you go. Hopefully we've accomplished that today. If you have any questions, want to engage in any sort of dialogue or conversation, email us at alabamafootballpodcast@gmail.com. Join the member group and we'll get in some of the Zoom calls. Those are, like I said, phenomenal. And we'll get those ginned up here. We'll probably do something fall camp before the season starts. Have a show or two. And it's a couple bucks to do that. Check out the website, alabamafootballpodcast.com, where we're going to have the companion articles for all of this coverage and an information there on the member program as well. And again, you know how to reach us if there are any questions. With that said, we've said a lot, and we're so eager for camp to start. We're so eager for the season to start. And we look forward to sharing another season with you. In the meantime, it's another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Roll Tide. Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach?
Aye.
Of course, Roll Tide.